Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. Today, as we sing those songs and hear those words, Christ is risen, it fills our hearts with that joy and that peace. But maybe you're coming to worship today not from a place of being full, but maybe you're feeling a little empty.
Peter, Zarek.
When I think about Jesus, what good news as those women went to the tomb and they heard from the angels that he is not here, that he is risen. As much as we are joy and filled with the presence of God, I think sometimes we live through life just kind of surviving or getting by, and that can drain us and leave us feeling empty. And as I have gone through another Holy Week of Jesus walking into Jerusalem or riding on a donkey to shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, of teaching and healing in the temple, and then of being rejected by the very people that he was sent to. I wonder if God looked at this world, his heart broke. Scripture says in Isaiah 53, that he was despised. He was rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Earlier in our scripture passages, we read from the Psalm 118, how the stone the builders rejected has now become the capstone. Jesus also predicted to his disciples. He said to those who followed him that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day rise again. Whenever I hear these words, I wonder if the disciples heard rejected and killed, and if they just stopped listening after that, you know? Because there's good news in that, isn't there? But to get to that good news, they went through a time that was really hard. A time when they saw their Lord betrayed, arrested, hung on a cross. Jesus, rejected and scorned by the world, even mocked as he was dying on the tree. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think Jesus gets it, feeling empty. even as his lifeless body was placed in the tomb. The stone was rolled over. The tomb was sealed. Jesus was in that tomb part of Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday morning. And that's where our gospel picks up today. When the women, in the very early in the morning, went to the tomb. Can you imagine, if me, what the women's hearts were filled with? Grief. Despair. This man that they had placed their hope in died and was buried. They came to anoint his lifeless body. But when they got to the tomb, the stone that they were worried about, how are we going to roll it away? They found that the stone was rolled away. And they went in the tomb and they found it empty, we hear in Luke 24. They did not find the body of Jesus. I'm sure they wondered, what's going on? Where is the body of our Lord? But before they could wonder too much, God sent an angel. God sent an angel to the empty tomb to announce this good news. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And the angel went on to say, remember. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified. And on the third day, what should happen? Be raised again. And I think this is the best part of the whole Easter story. The women remembered. The women remembered his words. And I think this is what fills us with hope. As we think about this Easter story, this Easter account, is that we remember the words of Jesus Christ. We remember the words that come to us from the Scripture. We remember that God has not left us empty, but has sent his Spirit into this world to fill us with hope. Because to be honest with you, as much as we have this hope of Christ, here on Easter morning especially, right? When you go back out into this world, and sometimes we try to live for people. We try to live for their approval. We live for the stuff. We live for ourselves. Sometimes the things that we treasure most are taken away from us. Whether it's our good health, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a job or a relationship. And sometimes when those things are stripped from us, those things that we hold so dear, it can leave us feeling empty. So where do we turn for hope? Where do we look to for life? Today, I think we find hope in Jesus. We find hope in God's word. We find hope knowing that when we repent of our sins, because Jesus died for our sins on the cross, there is forgiveness. There is grace. And because of everything that Jesus says, and instead of feeling empty, full was just too short of words, so I had to say, what do we have? We have abundance. Isn't that a great word? Abundance. And as you read through the Gospels of Jesus Christ, did Jesus do anything halfway? Did he say, hey, leper, let me heal you halfway? When he was feeding the 5,000, he fed all those people, but how many baskets full of food did he gather at the end? 12 baskets. It was an abundance. Whenever Jesus went fishing with his disciples and they couldn't catch anything on their own, and Jesus said, well, just drop the net in that side of the boat. And what happens? They didn't just catch a few fish. They caught an abundance of fish. Jesus says that if you seek me and deny yourself and follow me, you will have true life, abundant life. And that's what the empty tomb means for me, that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, not into this world to make us feel better, right? Not just as something that we can cling to, but to know that when we trust and believe in Jesus Christ, it changes us. It fills us. with a hope, with a joy, with a peace that knows no bounds. And I think this is especially one of the ways that it changes us, is it changes how we see this world and why we do the things that we do. Sometimes we get in this way of thinking that we do things so that. We do things so that we can get approval. We do things so that maybe God can look on us with his grace. But the empty tomb says that we don't have to do things so that we can earn God's approval, but we live because of what God has already done for us. Not so that we can get something from God. Not so that we can bring our righteousness to God, but because of what God has already done for us. One of the things, you know, as a Lutheran church, when Martin Luther was becoming a monk and a young man, he always lived so that he might get his dad's approval. He lived so that he could get the approval of those who were over him. He did things so that he might feel peace with God. But what led to the Reformation is that always left Martin Luther feeling empty. It was never enough. But when he read the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus had done it all, he realized and brought this to the church to reform it. We do things not so that we get something from God, but because God first loved us. And so as we look at the cross, as we looked at the empty tomb and Jesus ascending into heaven, the pouring out of his Holy Spirit, we live our lives not out of guilt, not out of compulsion, but out of a response to what God has done for us. Because God first loved us, we seek to love others. So on the cross, we see that you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me, were worth it. We don't have to seek to win approval from others because God looks at us and says, I value you. You're worth it enough that I sent my son Jesus to die for you on the cross. I died for you and for all people that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The empty tomb, the tomb that Jesus rose from, says that you are worthy. You are loved. You are valued. You are a chosen child of God. Christ is risen? He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's who you are because Jesus lives. We have received this through grace by faith. And so I want to challenge you today. I want to leave you with this challenge. Following Easter, how will you choose to live? Will you live for this world? Will you live for the approval of others? Will you live for something that is so fleeting in this world? I think when we live for something, we can never quite grasp it. It's very fleeting. It leaves us feeling empty. And so I challenge you to live from God's approval, live from knowing that God loves you first, that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, to rise from the dead, that you may have peace. Just a little bit of peace? Paul says, so that you may have peace that passes all human understanding. That's what the empty tomb means. That's what God offers. Peace, not dependent upon the circumstances of this world, but peace, resting secure in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that he lived, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back again. Not that we fear him, but we know that in him we have abundant life. Amen? Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Would you please rise now as we respond by singing this hymn of joy, this rejoicing and the singing that we share together.
Christian friends, rejoice and sing.